Sometimes I wonder whenever Pastor gets to introduce me who he's talking about, amen? But I guess I had to take ownership of that this night, amen? And so if y'all don't, I'm going to call some extra files tonight and even it all out. I do always consider it a privilege to be stand before you, and I pray that Pastor didn't run y'all off, and I didn't run those off that didn't come back. But you know what? It's good to be in the house of the Lord. And it's not about the numbers, it's about our Savior. Amen. And I'm thankful tonight to be able to share a truth with you. And we want to start by a beginning to have you to stand. So I get my introduction in first after we stand and read one verse, as we want to pick up tonight from where I feel like we kind of left off. But I want to share some things tonight. This be just a little different, but I believe in still doing so, it will be a blessing to you. Amen. So let's take our Bibles. Let's turn over to my favorite verse. And this is where we're going to begin. How many know what that verse is? That's my favorite. Julianne? Proverbs 3:5-6. Amen. It's good to know that she remembers what Pastor White's favorite verse is. And I just love it every time we come to it. Amen. I still hear pages turning, but I believe you'll get there in time soon here. Proverbs 3:5-6. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding, and all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. Father, thank you again for tonight. We thank you for the privilege that we have tonight to be in your house. And God, we thank you for just the opportunity to stand in your stead. And I pray again that this vessel will be honorable unto you tonight, that it might be used in a special way. Fill me with your spirit, empty me of self. Lord, forgive me of any sin that would be a hindrance to that which you would want to do here tonight. To bless your people that have come to assemble around the things of God, the word of God. And I pray that it would be a blessing to our hearts. We'll leave here and say that it has been good to have been in the house of the Lord. We do pray for Brother Serge and his wife as they're ministering to their aunt there. And I pray that through all of this, Lord, you might give them the opportunity to give her the assurance of her salvation. And Lord, that she might know you. And if she closed her eyes in this world, they might be open to heaven's glory. Again, we pray for those again that are not with us, Lord, that you that they would sense your presence. Lord, bring them back safely that are traveling. Be with those that are not here tonight for whatever, again, the reasons may be. Again, we praise you and thank you for those that have assembled here tonight that we might receive a blessing. We ask these things now in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. You may be seated. As we begin tonight, as we talked about it some time before, one of my favorite passages, the favorite passage of Scripture is Proverbs 3:5-6. And the reason we want to come back to it tonight, I want to preface this as we talked about it just a couple of weeks ago, last month, trusting in the Lord. We looked at one of the greatest, I think, one of the most beautiful marriage proposal or marriage that was ever put together in the Bible, and that was in Genesis chapter 24. So you can turn over there as well, and that's where we're gonna lay our hat here tonight. But I want you to think about this tonight. In a couple of different ways, and I hope, again, to make this a blessing to you. I don't want to go back and rehearse everything that we talked about the last time. There's quite a bit we want to cover tonight, but we hope to wrap it all up, that it would be a blessing, and you see the point that we're trying to make. I want you to think about it tonight, as we talked about to our young people about trusting the Lord and selecting their marriage mate. I wanted us to share those things with you because I wanted us as parents, or those of you that are guardians, those of you that if you're going to do anything with your grandkids, your kids, or any influence on young people, what are you going to influence them with? I pray that it would be the Bible. It would be the Word of God, because if you're going to trust, you're going to influence them with anything, it has to be the Word of God, because that's what's going to help them. That's what has helped me. That's what's going to help you. And as we think about it tonight, we go back and look at Proverbs and trusting in the Lord with all your heart and leaning not unto your own understanding. You're going to have to trust what the Word of God says about whatever situation, whatever thing that you're going through. You ought to be able to go to the Word of God and trust what God is showing you that you ought to do when it comes to the Word of God. Amen. Y'all with me tonight? Because if we're going to make an impression, or we're going to do anything that's going to be positive in young people's lives, it's got to be based on the Word of God.
Yes, sir, it does.
Let me say this tonight. As we thought about a couple of weeks ago, as I was sharing with you all, we gathered all of this tonight to bring you to this point. When I think about Dr. Smith wrote a book that we had been studying with the young teenagers, as y'all remember, that we talked about. And one of the examples that he gave in the book that we were studying, Different by Design, as he was talking about it, he talked about young people who are, as I was sharing with Jesse this morning, and I shared with you all many of times, young people make the greatest mistakes in their lives, begin at the age anywhere from 13 as they become teenagers, all the way up to they get to, sometimes even to 30 years old. And they still struggle with what it is that God would have them to do. And what happens is they don't learn at an early age to trust God because they trust him in themselves. And Dr. Smith gives the example of his 3-year-old son who he allowed to put his clothes on. And his son comes out. And as his son walks out, he's all proud of himself, but he got his pants on backwards. Amen.
Amen.
So preface it this way. How many of us as Christian and young people are making decisions because we're trusting ourselves?
Right.
In other words, tonight as we continue, don't put your pants on backwards.
Amen.
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 Trust in the Lord.
That's right.
With all your heart, and don't lean to your own understanding. His son was so proud of himself because he was trusting himself even to put his clothes on, but he had them on backwards. And how many of us look at people's lives and we look at our own lives and we be honest with ourselves? We got our pants on backwards because we're trusting in what we believe that God would have us to do or the way that we want to do it, and we're not trusting God. And when we come to Genesis chapter 24, one of the most beautiful to me in relationship as one that was to be chosen, choosing a bride, he wasn't trusting in himself, but he was trusting his parents his dad, Abraham, to select his wife for him.
Right.
And we looked at all of the requirements that ought to be there when a person is choosing a wife. And I believe all of those that were involved in chapter 24 were doing something that every one of us ought to preface our lives after, and that is to trust the Lord. Abraham, as it says, and Abraham was old and stricken in age, and he had become old now, but yet he knew what he wanted to do, and that was to find a bride for Isaac. So Abraham is trusting what God had promised him to be fulfilled. He chooses his servant to do what he couldn't do, but I like it too because the servant wasn't trusting in himself. He was trusting in his boss, or not his boss, he was trusting in his leader, Abraham. It's God.
Amen. Right.
He was trusting him. And he began going on this search to find a bride for Isaac. And one of the first things that he did, he prayed that God, he would pray that his master's God would lead him to the bride that he wanted Isaac to have. And he put some prefaces out there so he would know exactly what God would have him to have in a bride that he wasn't choosing for himself, but he was choosing it for Isaac because of his master trusting him to fulfill something that he believed that God would have him to do.
Right.
You know, let me say this again tonight as well. If marriage is the way it ought to be, you know what the Bible says? Everywhere we go in the Bible, first of all, there ought to be blood shed there.
Amen,
you ought to be able to see Christ in it. I want you to think about it tonight. How many of us could say that you could see Christ in your marriage?
That's good,
Pastor White.
I thought about it because if he's God, you ought to see Christ in your marriage every day. And if you young people are going to select a bride, you ought to be able to see Christ in your selection of the bride, whether it's a husband or whether it's a wife, because if God is involved in it, it goes back to where the blood of Christ was shed, and Isaac's choosing or the servant choosing of Rebecca as a bride is a picture of the most beautiful wedding of a bride relationship, because you and I, if we chose Christ as our Savior, we are the bride.
Yes, sir, we are, Pastor White.
We are his bride.
We are.
And I want us to see tonight that this servant is choosing the bride But I want us to notice, we won't go back and rehearse everything, but I want us to notice the communication that takes place in this relationship.
Amen.
Are y'all with me now?
Amen.
Because we're going to trust in the Lord. Because if our marriage is where it ought to be and be an example, Christ ought to be the center of the marriage. And when we learn how to trust the Lord the way that Isaac is going to trust that Rebecca is who God has for her, it wasn't because of his doing. It was because he saw everything that happened. God is in it. And when we are married to the mate that God wants us to have, when it comes up to those of you that are still going to choose a bride, you know what? Somebody said it tonight. You can just rest in the assurance that you're in the right relationship because you did it the godly way.
Amen. Amen, Pastor.
There are so many relationships today that are struggling.
That's right.
Because God is not the center of it.
It is.
And if our marriage is going to be what it ought to be, God ought to be the center of it.
Right.
It ought to be a picture of the bride of Christ. And that's what we're going to see tonight in Isaac's relationship with Rebecca and what she did and the servant who's chosen to go and select this bride. I want us to think about it tonight. Let's look at verse number 33 as we're going to pick it up there here tonight in Genesis chapter 24 and verse 33. Because I think it's so necessary, it's so needful today that if we can see Christ in our relationship, and that's why I'm saying that young people, those of you here tonight that are single, if you're going to choose a bride, it ought to be because you believe that God has led you to that person that you're going to marry. And if he has led you and you believe that it's God's will for your life, you know what? You can rest in the fact when you go through struggles, when you go through some hard times, it's right where God would have you to be. Because you're satisfied with the very fact that you believe that you're in the relationship that you're in because you believe it's God's will. You know what? That was so much to me, was such a relief to Abraham. If you're going to have a daughter-in-law, you ought to want it to be the daughter-in-law that you believe that God wants your son to have.
Amen.
Or the husband that you want your husband that you want your daughter to have.
Yes, sir, Pastor.
Because when it's done that way, it's done the right way. Amen?
Yeah.
And young people, I'm so jealous of you today. Not that I would give up my lovely bride, my lovely wife, because when we got married, we weren't saved. And this year, we celebrate our 36th anniversary. And I wouldn't trade it for anything in the world. Because I still believe with all my heart it's right where God would have me to be.
Yes, sir.
Amen?
Amen.
So look at verse number 33, and it says, And there was set meat before him, the servant, to eat. But he said, I will not eat until I have told my errand. And he said, speak on. And he said, I am Abraham's servant, the Lord that hath blessed my master greatly, and he is become great, and he hath given him flocks and herds and silver and gold and men servants and maid servants and camels and asses. Notice here, he's communicating to those that he's talking to. When we talk about Rebecca's family, he's communicating to them the very person in whom he was trusting to lead him and telling him about his master. So we notice the person of the message. Because what is so important about the person in the message? The message has no meaning if he doesn't communicate to them who Isaac was. The importance of the relationship was who Isaac was. And it was essential, and it was a very essential that they knew that it wasn't about just me traveling here to tell you about how good my master was and how he's been blessed. But the reason that I'm here is essential because of the person of the message that I'm bringing you light to. I want you to think about it. The message tonight is still about Jesus Christ. The greatest message and the greatest person that we as a church or as believers can have in the center of our relationship and marriage or the center in the choosing of a mate and communicating it is the person of Jesus Christ. He always and should be the greatest message that we could ever share.
Right.
It's just like the gospel when she was telling them about Isaac and how he had been blessed. And the person in the message was Isaac, but it really is a picture of Jesus Christ. Isaac was a special child to his family. Jesus Christ is a special person to his father.
Amen.
Just like Isaac was. And you think about it tonight. And that's why I say it. It's so prevalent tonight. No matter how you go to the Bible and slice it, wherever you open it at, it always bleed the blood of Jesus Christ. Because it's a perfect picture of Christ. Just like Isaac was a special person, Jesus Christ is a special person. So the message here tonight is important. Because if you leave out Christ, you're going to have failure. Whether it's in your marriage or whether it's in your life, when Christ is not the center of it, believe me tonight, believers, you're going to have problems. You're going to have problems in your life. You're going to have problems in your marriage. You're going to have problems young people choosing the right person when Christ is not the center of the message. I said, and I say it again, many people will choose a mate and never ask them, do they know Christ their Savior? I don't know how you can do it as a Christian. Because that ought to be one of the first things that you ought to do is to know that it was the essentialness for him. And the message was about Isaac. But really, without Christ in the message or leaving out Christ, we have no hope. We have no promise. We have no prospect. And it's an essential message because it not just is a picture of Isaac being a special child, but it's also a picture of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Are y'all with me so far? See, Christ is able to deliver man from his lowly sin condition or his cursed situation and give him the most wonderful future in heaven. And I believe when the servant was coming to Rebekah to tell her of all that she was going to have, the blessings that Abraham had, now they are Isaac's things to have. And what a privilege it is that she would have to come in a right relationship with this son that he's talking about. So we see the person in the message, but notice the priority in the message, because it was the priority. Abraham's servant said here in verse number 34, he says, verse number 33 and 34, he says, I have an errand. And he says, and I speak on as he did. He says, I'm Abraham's servant. And he said, and the Lord have blessed my master greatly and have become great. So we see the priority in the message was that he wanted them to know who had sent him. And the message tonight is about Isaac, but it's so important that the servant would not eat until he had told them the message that he had and what the priority it is tonight. And I believe, again, one of the greatest priorities in our lives today is the message of the gospel. It ought to have priority. Every conversation, everything about life ought to center around the message of who Jesus Christ is. Amen. Young people, let me say it again. I don't know if y'all got it, but if you're going to choose a mate, they ought to be a Christian.
That's right.
They ought to know Christ as Savior.
That's right.
Why are you going to choose anybody else? Why are you going to take on that when you know that it's not the right thing to do? You're asking for trouble. And when we leave out Christ, we're leaving out the best thing that you could ever have to begin a marriage relationship. Because it wasn't just about Isaac. It really is a picture of Jesus Christ. And we'll see it as we go on. It'll point out so many things that Jesus Christ is the center of everything here. And it was because of their faith and the fact that they were going to do something, but they were trusting in the Lord. They were not trusting in themselves. The flesh, of course, want food for the stomach more than food for the soul. That is the social gospel philosophy that we live in today. And I'm telling you, when you leave Christ out, we're headed for disaster. So we see the person, we see the priority, but notice the proof in this message that he had. The providence and the provisions are there to prove it was true. The proof in the providence here, Abraham's servant told, was twofold, and the most important providence that would help prove this message was true, why he was there. Notice, first of all, he warned them and told them about the providence of his prayer. Look at verse 43 and 44. Behold, I stand by the well. He had already prayed this prayer early, so now he's rehearsing to them how he had prayed that prayer. Behold, I stand by the well of water, and it shall come to pass that when the virgin cometh forth to draw water, and I say to her, Give me, I pray thee, a little water of thy pitcher to drink. And she said to me, both drink thou, and I will also draw for thy camel, let the same be the woman whom the Lord hath appointed out for my master's son. That was the proof. Now he's showing them the providence of this prayer. But notice not only the providence of this prayer, but notice the provision that was there to show them that they were doing what was right. And if you take heed as to what he was asking and what God has showed him, it gave him great comfort. And he was comforting them with the same thing that he had been cured of, that it was of God. Look at verse 47. And I asked her and said, whose daughter art thou? And she said, I'm the daughter of Bethuel of Noor, son, whom Micah bare unto him. And I put an earring upon her face and a bracelet on her hand. And I bowed down my head and worshiped the Lord and blessed the Lord God of my master Abraham, who had led me in the right way to take my master's brother's daughter unto his son. That was the proof. That was the providence here of this message. Let me say this tonight. I was listening to Dr. Chappell talking about it. You know when you get a message preacher? I couldn't even sleep. I was so excited. I was rehearsing a message in my mind. Amen. Let me say this tonight. One of the greatest blessings, young people, you could ever have is to know without a doubt that you're in a relationship that God wants you to have.
Amen.
Because if you ask him, he'll show you that it's the right one. You don't have to put a square peg in a round hole.
Amen.
Because when God's in it, it's already working out the way that it's supposed to, because you have sought him for it. Abraham's servant was with all confidence that he was choosing, or it was the right person, because God brought all of this proof. He brought all these providences together to show him that this is the person that I want you to have.
That's right.
I'm going to tell you something tonight. Young people, teenager, next week, 13, one of the greatest blessings, again, let me say it, that you could ever have is to know that you're doing something that you know is of God.
That's right.
Amen.
That you know is of God. Whether you're buying a car, whether you're choosing a mate, whether it's going to college, whether it's buying a whatever it is that you're doing. When you know that it is God's will, it's the greatest blessing that you could ever have. You can't dispute it. Neither can those that you share it with dispute it, because all of them who were trusting in the God of heaven knew that he was in the right place. Even her parents could not deny it.
That's right.
I'm going to tell you something. My girls have been, at least one of them, have been close to getting married. And one of the first things my wife and I decided to do, we're going to pray about it.
Amen.
We didn't try to convince her whether she should or whether she shouldn't. We were trusting in the Lord.
Amen.
Because if we say go to the left, she would have went to the right. If we say go to the right, she would have went to the left. But you know what? When God's in it, all things work together.
Amen.
To good.
Right.
To them that love God and to them that are called according to his purpose.
Right.
You can't get any better than that. You can't. And Isaac's servant was assured of that. Because the provisions were there. The proof was there. The person that he asked for was the one at the well. It was his master's brother's daughter. You couldn't have gotten any better than that, because he knew that it was of God. So the proof was there. The proof and the provisions were there. So the servant could substantiate all of this by the provisions which the servant had. And when he shared it, he knew now that what he was sharing and what they were about to get involved in, it was all of God.
Amen.
And the gospel message that the servant had was sustained by the provisions that the servant had. The gospel message can also be substantiated by many proofs as an example. Acts chapter 1 and verse 3 says this. When the Lord was talking to his disciples, he says, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. When Christ rose from the dead, when Christ came and spoke to his disciples in Acts chapter 8, it was told to them, and there were so many things that had been fulfilled that even his disciples knew that what he had told them had been come true. Isn't it wonderful tonight that the word of God gives us so many proofs of who God is? And when we're in the right relationship, the word of God will give us proof that we're doing the right things, because it'll show us in God's word. I was sharing with Jesse this morning, and I told him I didn't want to preach to him, but we were just getting, I was just getting almost to have a Holy Ghost fit, just telling him about tonight. You know what I told Jesse as we were talking about it? I said, Jesse, one of the things that I like about Dr. Smith, when he said that about the ages that young people go through trying to figure out what it is that they want to do, when they ought to trust God to show them what it is that he wants them to do. You're in the right place. Because when you're in the house of God, under the preaching of God, and you're in a relationship with God the way that you ought to be, doing the things that God would have you to do, reading your Bible, praying, studying, getting counsel from your pastor, getting counsel from your godly parents, getting the word of God, getting in it and praying that God will give you directions and God will give you advice as to what he would have you to do. Brother, you're in the right place. Because there's so many young people today that are not in the house of God. Miss White and I were looking around and we were saying to ourselves, we think about all of the teenagers that we were able to minister to in all of these years here at Shining Light Baptist Church. You know what? There ain't many of them that are still around. I don't see but two of them. One is Shane and the other one is Tony. Where are all the rest of them? Because they made a choice. They choose to do otherwise. And I tell you this, young people, if you want God's direction in your life and you want to know God's will for your life, just do the basic things. Be in the word of God, prayer, being counseled by your pastor, listening to your parents. You know what? Because most of you still got your pants on backwards. The choices and the decisions that you're making yourself, it looks good to you, but everybody looking at it wondering, why in the world are you doing things the way that you're doing them? Because you got your pants on backwards. And you may not see it, but others see it. So think about it. Amen? That's good stuff. I told Jesse, I'm so jealous because I wish that when I was growing up, that I had somebody telling me some of the things that Dr. Smith is talking about in this book. And it is a tremendous study, folks. I'm telling you, it is so many angles and so many things that you could go in directions from it and learn the things that are there that would be a blessing to you. Because many of us, I said again and I said it earlier, many of you who are old enough to have kids are going to be responsible for taking care of a lot of you, your grandkids. And what kind of influence are you going to have on them? It ought to be the word of God. There are so many grandparents and aunts and uncles that are raising their other kids because the kids that had them weren't ready for it. And somebody's got to love them. And somebody's got to raise them. And somebody's got to teach them. What are you going to teach them from? The word of God. Because you know what? Believe it or not, you're raising somebody else's mate. So what you give somebody else, don't complain about it when it ain't right, because you raised part of that relationship that they decided to come together in. And if they're going to ever stand a chance to have a wonderful marriage, Christ has to be the center of it. Because all the other ones, I'm telling you, will fail. They're going to have struggles. They're going to have problems. Ask the preacher.
Amen.
My wife and I was just talking about it just the other day. You're going to have a wedding. It ought to be a God-honoring wedding.
Amen, Pastor.
Because, again, it pictures the bride of Christ, which he died for. And you and I are a picture of that bride because we are part of the bride of Christ.
Right.
We are. Boy, I can't stay there too much longer. Amen. So we notice here, we see the proof, we see the person, we see the priority, but notice the proposal because the proposal is so important. The proposal takes, here is in verse number 48. Let me turn back there. Verse number 48. He says, I bow down my head and worship the Lord and bless the Lord God of my master Abraham, which had led me in the right way to take my master's brother's daughter unto his son. And now, if ye be will deal kindly and truly with my master, tell me. If not, tell me, that I may turn to the right hand or to the left. In other words, you know what? Let's do it. Because I believe it's of God. If you don't, then let me just move on. How many of you ever got to witnessing to somebody and you told them some things and some truths that are in the Word of God and they still have problems with it? You know, after a while, you just need to move on. And that's really what the servant was saying. And the servant did not communicate all of this information just to simply to tell him how great things were in Cana. In other words, he told him all of this information in order to make a proposal to Rebekah to be Isaac's wife. You know what, folks? It's the same thing when it comes to the gospel. If you take the gospel message and share it with somebody, in other words, what you're doing is making a proposal that they would accept Jesus Christ and become part of the bridal relationship. That's really what it's all about. And if you're going to do this, and he was proposing to her, then now what do he want? He wants an answer. And if we're going to accept Christ as Savior, and we take you to the take you through the plan of salvation, show you the Romans road, the next thing you want that person to do is make a decision. That's what Isaac wanted. Not Isaac, but that's what the servant wanted. And that's what every one of us ought to want when it comes to sharing the gospel, is we want an answer. The proposal is there. And when you share the truth, the proposal is presented to the one that you're sharing it with to accept Christ. Isaac is a picture of Christ. When she accepts that, she's going to accept a greater relationship than she ever could have ever dreamed of and be a part of. Because the communication is important. He was communicating a message that she had some decisions to make, and she did. So we see the communication of the bride for the bride, but notice the choice by the bride. I like this. Again, it's a picture of our Savior Jesus Christ. Look at verse number 54. And they ate and drank, and he and the men that were with him, and they tarried all night, and they rose up in the morning and said, send me away unto my master. And her brother and her mother said, let the damsel abide with us a few days, at the least 10. After that she shall go. And he said unto them, hinder me not, seeing the Lord hath prospered my way. Send me away that I may go to my master. And they said, we will call the damsel and inquire at her mouth. And they called Rebekah, and she said unto her, and said unto her, will thou go with this man? And she said, I will go. What a tremendous thought. I will go. She made her choice.
Right.
You know, when Pastor Kraft took the Bible and showed Miss White and I how we could be saved,
amen.
I said, I'll take him. I'll accept him. I know that I'm lost. I know that I'm on my way to hell. But I'm going to make a choice.
That's right.
I'm going to choose Christ. And what Rebecca was doing, she was choosing Christ when she was accepting the proposal that was presented to her. She was making a choice. And you and I got to make the same choice tonight. If you're here without Christ, then you need to make a decision of whether you would trust him as your Savior.
That's right.
If you're a Christian here tonight, if you're going to make some decisions in your life, you got to choose whether you're going to trust this book and the God and the author of it to give you the directions that you need in your life to make decisions in your life and choices in your life. Which one are you going to choose? She put the rubber where the rubber meets the road. She made her decision. She said, I will go. Because we know mom and brother didn't want her to go.
That's right.
You know what I found out? One of the greatest resistance in life are come to those who are the closest to you.
Amen, Pastor.
But you got to choose for yourself.
It's true.
I don't want my girls to ever say, we didn't marry this person or that person because dad told me not to. I'm going to tell you what. These old knees ought to get callous on them. Because they'll go to the right. When you say go to the right, they'll go to the left. You might say go to the left, and they'll go to the right.
Amen.
But you know what? When you're trusting God, he'll work it out.
Right.
He'll show them better than you and I ever could as to really if they're seeking God's will than we ever could. And we ought to be able to rest in the fact that it is God's will for their life. I think about Jesse and his parents are here tonight. I know it's one of the hardest things for them to ever do is to let go. Am I right?
Yes, sir, Pastor.
But you know what? Let God have him.
That's right.
He's given him to you for a few years, and you know what? You've done just about all that you can do. But what we need to do is to trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thy own understanding. In all thy ways, acknowledge him, and he shall direct his path. Because God has a plan for him. God has a plan for your children. God has a plan for yours. One day you're going to have to give them up. Brianna wants them to stay forever, but they can't stay forever, and they shouldn't. But you know what? I would rather for my girls to be in the center of God's will if he took them to Timbuktu, because if he takes them there, he can take care of them.
That's right.
And we have to trust in the fact that they're there.
That's right.
Think about it tonight. I'm going to shorten this all up. Rebecca made a choice. She was going to go and choose a man she'd never seen. You know what? It's the same way with Christ. When I got saved, I never saw Jesus Christ. But I knew that I was lost. I was on my way to hell. And I knew he could save me. So here she is. It's a picture of Christ. She's trusting in a God she's never seen. She's going to go to a place that she's never been. She's going to be around some people that she has no idea who they are. But she's trusting in the Lord with all of her heart. Because I believe just like her parents, just like Abraham, just like the servant, she knew that it was God's will for her life. And she could trust him and go somewhere that she's never been.
Amen.
To do something that she's never done. But that's how it is when it comes to serving God. See, we got to trust him. We got to say, we believe, God, this is what you have for him or for her. when we raise our children. And Teresa and I have spent many sleepless nights and many times and many days praying for our children. But you know what? When I think about it and I look back, there's so many dangers that have been out there. I had no idea that they were there and the possibilities and the what ifs. But the God of heaven knew exactly where they were all the time. And we've learned how to trust God. Because you know what? You can only do so much. But you know what? He can do way more than we could ever do.
Amen.
And Rebecca made a choice. She chose to be Isaac's bride. And in choosing that, the Bible tells us that the resistance or the source was those that were close to her. And it was her family. Notice the things now that she inherits. It reveals her choice in verse number 57 that we already seen here in verse 28. As they called her, in verse 58, she says, and they called Rebekah, and she said unto her, said unto her, will thy go with this man? And she said, I will go. And simply put it, she was not willing to procrastinate. She was willing to go. It revealed her choice as the servant stood off there and asked their family to make a decision. Rebekah gave her decision. And you know what she did that every one of us need to do? She did it by faith. When you trust Christ the Savior, you trust him by faith. If you're here tonight and you're saved, you made a decision to trust Christ. It was all by faith. Where she was going, it was going to be by faith. That was where God would have her to go. And she was firm in her decision because she said, I'll go. And we got to be firm in our decision. And one of the saddest testimonies today is that people will make a choice for Christ and have no firmness in their decision.
Amen.
Because look at the church tonight.
Amen.
It might be because of this country boy. But you know what? That's all right.
Amen.
It's a holiday. Whatever the day. But you know what? We have so many people that get saved. Ask Christ to save them, and they make no commitment to him.
That's right.
Rebekah made her commitment. She made her choice, and now she's making the commitment. She's going to go. And you know what I like about it? And we're talking about trusting the Lord. The Bible tells us when Isaac saw her, the servant had already told Isaac about everything that had happened. And how he came to choosing his bride. And when we choose Christ, the Bible tells us that he casts no one out. We all are accepted in Christ. Isaac accepted her as his bride. Christ accepted you into his bride when you ask him to save you. Now, are you going to commit to him? Rebecca going to have to commit to Isaac, who is her husband now, because she's chose him to be her husband. So the choice there is there, but now we see the commitment is there as well. Because she said, I'll go. And I believe that she was committed. And so many Christians accept Christ and have no commitment. After that, you can't get them to be faithful to church. You can't get them to get baptized. You know what? All of these things ought to show up. And we see the results of her decision. We see the results of her decision. Let's drop down to verse number 67. We're going to wrap this up. And notice here in verse number 63. Let's read down to that. And we're going to close here with this. And Isaac went out to meditate in the field at evening time, and he lifted up his eyes and saw, and behold, the camels were coming. You know what I like about this? Jesse, he's spending time with the Lord. You know how we talked about that this morning? See, when you spend time with God and the provisions and the proof is there, you know that it's God's will. Most people struggle because they're not where they ought to be. He was right where he ought to be. And if you're going to take a husband that's going to be a leader in your home, he ought to be already spending time with the Lord. If he ain't worth the time. And let me say this, because it just eats my heart away. Young women or young girls that going to take up with a man that won't even come to the house of God with you. Lord help us.
That's right.
I'm going to tell you something. If he won't bring you to the house of God, he ought not take you to the church to get married. Because if he start out that way, he's going to finish that way. Unless God gets a hold of his heart. And she the same way. Because if she ain't coming with you to church, how you going to ever raise a family to live for God?
Tell the truth. Tell the truth.
Preach it, Pastor Wright. Preach it.
Boy, I may not have to end. I don't understand it. I've seen a ladies come here that got married, and the guy and the person that they married never came to the house of God. They took them out of church. They ain't asked the preacher what they ought to do. Because if they'd asked the preacher, the first thing I would tell you, you know what? You need to drop him like a bad habit. Because the habit that ought to be there, he ought to be the man of God, spending time in the house of God, and he ought to be bringing you to the house of God.
Amen.
Ever before you ever marry him.
That's right.
Boy, that's extra.
Amen?
Yes, sir, it is. So she accepts him. And what a beautiful picture of the gospel of Jesus Christ and her coming to him. I said I was going to finish. I mean, let me finish reading here. And verse number 64, let's pick it up. And Rebekah lifted up her eyes, and when she saw Isaac, she lighted off her candle. And for she had said unto the servant, "What man is this that thou walkest in the field to meet us?" And the servant had said, "It is my master." Therefore, she took a veil and covered herself. And the servant told Isaac all things that he had done. And Isaac brought her into his mother's Sarah's tent and took Rebekah, and she became his wife, and he loved her. And Isaac was comforted after his mother's death. What a tremendous picture of what happens in the life of a person who does things God's way. Accept Christ. And you know what I like about it? He accepted her because the Bible says those that would come to him, he would no wise cast out. John 6 and verse 37, it says, "And all that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will no wise cast out." Isaac accepted her by faith because he believed, "I believe with all my heart that it was all of God." And Rebekah came to a position that she's never been in. And I want you to think about it tonight. She changed the abode. But I think about what John 14 and verse 1 said. Let's turn over there. I want to mess it up. Amen. John chapter 14 and verse 1 says this. "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you." God has prepared a place for you. Isaac had prepared a place for her, and it was his mother's tent. And what a blessing it is to know what Rebekah was coming into, all that was his that he had, that the servant had told her about, is hers now. And everything that Christ has because of our relationship with him is ours. Isn't that wonderful when you think about it? And not only do you see her making the commitment, but notice the conditions that she was in now. She had more than just what she had when it was going out there drawing water at the well.
Amen.
She has a place that's prepared for her. Mm-hmm. We have a place that's prepared for us. And they tell me that Jesus don't make no jump.
That's right.
Everything he makes is good.
That's right.
And not only does the Bible tell us that he was comforted because of her. Since he had lost his mother. You know what? I'm comfort tonight to know if I rest this head and never wake up, I'm going to be in glory.
Amen.
What about you tonight? Amen. See, the mate that you take ought to be a comfort to you and not a detriment. I am so glad when I look over there sometime, I had to touch her to make sure she's all right. But I'm so comforted when I lay my head down that my beautiful bride is right there with me. And I hope I bring her the comfort that she brings me of knowing that she's there. Because if she's ever gone, it'll never be the same. And if you don't keep your relationship right with God, it won't be because he left.
That's right.
It's because you left him. And the greatest comfort that you can have tonight is your relationship with Jesus Christ. And every other relationship, if you're trusting him that you're in and that you'll have, it'll be because he gave it to you. That's that grace, Joel. Getting what we don't deserve. Amen?
Amen?
Because of Christ. That's what grace is. And that this marriage is a beautiful picture of Jesus Christ. What we get when we get him. And let me say this to the single ones here tonight. When you get the bride that Christ wants you to have, or girls, when you get the man that God wants you to have, they ought to be a comfort to you.
Amen.
And they ought to be a blessing. And your marriage ought to be a picture of the bride of Christ. It ought to bleed the blood of Christ in every situation and every circumstance.
That's right.
And what a comfort it'll bring to you. And you can rest in the fact that you're in the relationship that God wants you to have. Isaac was comforted. I believe he was just as comforted as she was to know that she was in God's will and he was in God's will. Because the father started it all by sending the servant to find his son a bride. The servant trusted in his master's God that he would lead him to his master's brother's house and the one that would come out to the well and draw water. And if I ask her to give me drink, let it be the one that you would have for my master's son. What a blessing to know that it's all orchestrated by the God of heaven.
Right.
Don't put your pants on backwards. Amen?
Amen, Pastor.
Let's bow for prayer. Father, thank you again for tonight. We thank you for your blessings. And God, we thank you for the privilege that we have tonight to be in your house. And God, what a tremendous thought we could have tonight of realizing that everything that we have is because of who you are. When it's done the way that you would have it to be done, what a blessing it is tonight to know that we're in your will for our lives. Lord, that we would learn how as Christians to trust you in every area of life. When we think about this story in the Bible, what a wonderful picture of our Savior, Jesus Christ. That Isaac was choosing a bride, or Rebecca made a decision to choose and make a choice. It's just like what happens to us as Christians. It has to be by faith because we trust in you. Let's all stand at our feet tonight. And I ask Jesse to play a hymn of invitation, heads bowed and eyes are closed. And maybe tonight that God has spoken to your heart about something that you need to do. You know, one of the first things that you could do tonight, if you don't know Christ as Savior, you know, the greatest privilege that you could have tonight is to trust him by faith. Make a firm decision and commit your life to Christ. Because the Bible tells us that one day every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God. Maybe you've never trusted him as your Savior. And I pray tonight you let someone take a Bible and show you how you can be saved. Maybe you're here tonight and God has spoken in your heart about the relationships that you're in and the relationships that you may endeavor to get involved in. There's some things to be said tonight that will be a help to you. You know, when you choose a mate, they ought to bring you some of the greatest privileges that you could ever have in your Christian life, because it's done according to the will of God. I don't know about you, but when you know that you're where God would have you to be and doing the things that God would have you to do, it brings great comfort. It brings great joy. Because when you're not, you rob yourself of the blessings of God, because He's not in it. What about you here tonight as Christians? Are you committed to the Lord? And may your commitment be even greater than it ever been before. We think about what you have in Christ. He hasn't sold us short in no way, no form or fashion. Everything that's His is ours. What about you tonight? I'm going to ask our pastor to come and close if he sees fit. You know, let me say it tonight. Don't put your pants on backwards. Trust in the Lord and not in yourselves. It may look good to you, but it doesn't in the eyes of God, and neither does it in the eyes of others who will see you making mistakes, because we all want to be a blessing and a help to you in the days to come. Pastor, you come.
Our heads are bowed.